here today. Sermon on the Mount, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they should be filled." How many people want to be filled today, man? How many people want to know Him and hunger for Him and just be filled by His mercy and grace? Father, I give You the glory for today, Lord. What an opportunity it is for all of us to come and fellowship, Lord, to give You the glory, to give You the honor and praise that You deserve. Father, thank You in all You're doing in this church and in our church family's lives. We're a family, Father, and we've come here today to celebrate. We've come here today to learn. We've come here today to seek Your face in all that we do. Father, Your word says, whatever we do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Father, Your word tells us to walk in wisdom towards Him without redeeming the time. Let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer everyone, Father. And I just give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. One day there was an elder board, not on my own. Praise God. How am I not? At least it's not popcorn like last week. Do you hear me now? Hello. Hello. Every day. Praise God. Very humbling. Very humbling. One day an elder board of a church was faced with a situation that was really a little uncomfortable. A man named Jim in the church, who had a serious heart condition, had just inherited $1 million, and they wanted to tell him, but they were afraid the shock would kill him. So they went to the pastor and asked him, "Could you figure out a way to tell Jim that he inherited such a large sum of money?" So the pastor agreed, and he approached the man after church one day and casually said, "Jim, if you had $1 million, what would you do with it?" And Jim looked at him and said, "Pastor, if God gave me $1 million, the first thing I would do before anything would be give half to the church." The pastor looked at him and then had a heart attack and died. Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a story with you from a book called Plastic Donuts by Jeff Anderson, that his little daughter is like 3 years old playing at a little kitchen set, and she came up and gave her daddy this plastic donut, and she was so excited about it, and it really moved his heart about it. Well, later on in the book, he shared this story. He said, "With three young boys in our home, we're a family of jokesters and cut-ups. Our youngest son, Gunner, doesn't mind being the object of family jokes, and he doesn't mind initiating them either. One day he came up to me with his hands behind his back and a goofy grin on his face, and he said, 'Here you go, Dad,' and he held out his hand and he handed me, what do you think, the plastic donut again. So he busted out laughing. His donut gift to me was a joke from him, but I thought it was funny too," Jeff wrote. "To show my approval, I wrapped him in a headlock and gave him a bare knuckle noogie on his tightly shaved head." And after, he said, "After my son Gunner hearing me give that donut illustration in sermons and teachings, Gunner figured out that plastic donut carried a special meaning to me. Even at age 7, the story said, he understood that plastic donut given to me by a school-age boy would not produce the same effect on me as it did when his younger sister did it as a toddler." And you're listening, God, I put, he knew that not all the gifts are received the same way, even when gifts are identical. Think about it. Then Jeff Anderson wrote this, very convicting, but I think very truthful. Jeff Anderson said this, "Many of us are playing jokes with our gifts to God. It may look like a few dollars in the basket, a small check here or there, or a sporadic string of checks that are discontinued during the summer. For some, even a steady 10% giving might not be considered a joke in God's eyes, or might be considered a joke in God's eyes. And we've all heard it said, when you're hearing people trying to raise money, every gift is special. Every gift can make a difference. No gift is too small. And for a secular campaign fundraising, that might be true. But when it comes to giving to God, there's a problem with these ideas. Not all gifts are special to God, and not all gifts are acceptable. There's your first fill-in, acceptable. Now, King David, he knew that a gift that cost him nothing was worth nothing to God. The king was seeking a location, and we're in 2 Samuel. The king was seeking out a location to offer a gift of burnt offerings. An attractive altar arrangement, a team of oxen had been offered to David for free. But he wanted his giving. David wanted his giving to be an acceptable kind. So he insisted on paying for the items at full market price. And we see these in 2 Samuel chapter 24. It says, then Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take up an offering that seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges. And I thought to myself, let's say threshing sledges five times real fast. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Threshing sledges. Can't do it. And the yokes of oxen of wood. All this, O King Araunah, gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord God accept you. But David, he thought about this different. But David said to Araunah, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. When I looked it up, that's like 1.25 pounds of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to that plea that David did for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. So this brings us to the first truth about acceptable gifts. Because I ask you in the front of the listening, guys, the amount matters. And acceptable gifts, the ones that gets God's attention. And once again this week, I have some questions for you to think about and hope to give that they give you answers to dwell on as well. The first question for today, should amounts matter to us? There's a fill-in, matter. Should amounts matter to us? Because when it comes to our gifts, I think the amount matters. When the gift matters to us, it matters to God too. When the gift amount doesn't matter to us, I don't think it matters to God. That toy donut did not matter to Jeff Anderson's son, Gunner, so it was not an acceptable gift from him. And think about this. We all have amounts that matter to us. They may be your home mortgage, your rent payments, your car payments, your vacation packages, maybe furniture purchases, maybe club memberships. Because these amounts matter, we're diligent to set money aside to pay for those. So some of the questions for us today would be, what are the amounts that matter to you? Do your gifts to God fit in this category? Are you as diligent in making careful provision for your gifts to God as you are making your financial decisions? And if you've ever borrowed money to buy a home, you know that when you think about it, banks will loan you based on the projection of what you can afford to pay. The affordability calculations make assumptions about how people with your income might live. The calculations don't likely take into account other amounts as your gift to God. And I thought to myself, if you want to give gift amounts that matter to you, then it's up to you to leave room in your budget. Think about it. Let's read that together. If you want to give gift amounts that matter to you, then it's up to you to leave room in your budget. When people take advantage of the maximum amount of mortgage brokers or car financiers will loan, we commit a large portion of our income to these items. There's no doubt about it. In effect, the amounts that matter are decided for us when it comes to loans. Next question, shouldn't the amounts matter to the heart? We talked a lot about heart today in our community group. Shouldn't the amounts matter to the heart? Now I got a good story for you and a good analogy. Stay with me. John, 26-year-old software engineer for a growing technology company, He's pretty satisfied with his $85,000 annual salary, and he makes maximum contributions to his 401k. He enjoys his $1,500 a month apartment near the mountains, and he has his new mini SUV. He's particularly glad, John, that he purchased that special edition sports package to accommodate his skis in the winter and his bicycle in the summer months. John's also very excited about beginning his new life with Amy, his soon-to-be bride. When Amy saw, they got together for dinner, and John took out that velvet box. He pulled it from his pocket. It took Amy's breath away. But when he opened the box, her reaction changed. She tried not to appear disappointed when she learned that John had purchased the ring for just $250. She was devastated. Amy's far from a materialistic person, yet she still found that $250 ring insulting. She sobbed and she looked and asked John, "Do you really love me?" Think about it. So John was embarrassed. He also felt a little bit defensive, and Amy's reaction to that ring stung. Then John said something he later would regret. Listen to me, men. John said something he later would regret. "The amount I paid for the ring really doesn't matter so much. It's the heart that counts." How do you think Amy felt about that reaction to that? And you think about it, in my discussion through the years with Christians about giving, no opinion has been more frequently expressed than this one. The amount really doesn't matter. It's all about the heart. Let's read that together today. Seriously, the amount really doesn't matter. It's all about the heart. And I understand the good intentions about that statement. The problem is, I think the message is wrong. Often we pull the heart card to avoid deeper questions about the amount we give. While the heart is crucial to the act of giving and to our gifts, the amount matters too. In fact, check me on this. It's the amount that helps engage the heart. Think about it. During his famous message on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shared this about the connection between our hearts and our mouths. He said this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And I'm supposed to ask you this today. Where is your heart when it comes to money? Where is your heart when it comes to giving? It's so important. And Wednesday night, we were doing our Tony Evans study, which is incredible. Some verses came up, and I thought about it later on this weekend. Look at these four verses in Deuteronomy 13, because I thought, does this have to do with giving? Look at these verses. "If a prophet or a dreamer of dream arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or a wonder that he tells you come to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go and serve other gods.'" And I thought to myself, well, who are the other gods that the enemy wants us to serve? Power, greed, money, stuff, pride. He says, "Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet," Moses wrote, "or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul." And then in verse 4, he says, "You should walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him." And then I thought to myself over the weekend when I was watching Nats lose their first game, could this thing called giving or tithing or offerings actually be God testing us to see how much we love him, how much we love our church? Malachi in chapter 3, he calls the church a storehouse. Tony Evans says the last thing Christians want to give up is their money. And when you think about it, whenever we invest money, a force
pulls our heart along with it. You have no choice on the matter. Just like the force of gravity would pull an object towards the center of the earth. So if you spend the amount of money that matters to you, if it matters very little to you, it's going to move your heart very little. But if you spend an amount of money that matters more to you, it will move that amount, meaningful amount, to your heart in that direction. The amount gets the attention of your heart. Here's a story Tony Evans shared about concerning giving. Anybody here ever heard of the place McDonald's? Praise God. McDonald's offers combo meals. The company has made it easy for everyone to drive up and get a full meal by just saying a number. They have also trained their employees to take orders and always follow up with the question, do you want to supersize it? The question basically implies the customer's going to choose between taking a regular order and an oversized order. In the same way, I think God continually offers his children the opportunity to supersize what he's offering to them, what he's offering to us, with a little bit more of an investment of obedience and commitment on the part of the Christian. God will make so much more available. Think about it. Write down the verse and check it out later. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Check that out. Next question. Does our life and lifestyle count? Here's another testimony from Jeff Anderson. I hope these testimonies are ringing true for you. And this is something he wrote concerning his own heart. He said, as a young adult, I was comfortable with giving at a level of 10%. This is a common after practicing tithing for many years. And then he wrote, when my income was rising, my 10% was growing too. But the other 90% seemed to be growing faster for me. And even though my 10% gifts were increasing in the amount, the remaining 90% was focused on completely feeding my lifestyle. The truth is, he wrote, the 10% wasn't really moving my heart like it had in the past. He wrote, if I wanted to go on a weekend trip, I would. If I wanted to buy a new gadget, I would. If I wanted to go to the Nats game for $3,000 a ticket, I would. If I wanted to speculate on a stock tip, I would. Much of the time and the attention was spent considering other things to do with my 90%. Jeff said, I spent very little time thinking about the 10% I was giving away and the zero time imagining a life of giving more than that. I was diligent in giving an amount to God and it would be welcome as a faithful tither in today's culture. But I was not giving that amount that really mattered to me, he wrote. It was not an amount that influenced my lifestyle. What I didn't realize is that my lifestyle had frozen my giving at the 10% level. And when it came to my finances, my lifestyle had all the influence. So the issue is not about needing to sacrifice my lifestyle. It's about my giving a gift that is connected to my heart. Think about it. He said, because I have a tendency to attach myself to my possessions, my giving needs to impact my lifestyle in order to get my heart's attention. And when my giving gets my heart's attention, it can get God's attention too. Next question. What does it mean when it says heart of worship? Rachel picked that song out last week. It's beautiful, Heart of Worship. And I think singing a song is not necessarily worship, and neither is writing a check. But when the heart engages in a meaningful way through a praise song or a hymn, it becomes more than just singing. And when the heart engages through a gift that matters, it becomes more than just writing a check. Think about it. Let's read that together. And when the heart engages through a gift that matters, it becomes more than just writing a check. Here are four questions and a statement for you, and I'm going to close up now. What about you? Do your gifts engage your heart in worship? Do your gifts influence your lifestyle? Do your gifts amounts matter to you? And from God's perspective, I think the amount matters. Last question for today was from the friend that shared with me a couple weeks ago. Does giving really mean returning? Come on up, Ben. When you come to terms with the idea that you're really just managing of someone else's assets, you will experience freedom that owners never experience. Think about it. Come on up, ushers. We're going to take our offering now. Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for just commentaries and your word and books that just minister to our hearts, Father, as this book has ministered to me, Lord. Father, I pray that we understand that the heart is so much involved in our giving, Lord. But at the same time, it's the amount that engages the heart, Father. So I think the amount really matters, Father. So, Father, just bless our offering today, Lord. Bless our time today as we sit at this altar and kneel at this offer and lift up our prayers to you or our praises to you or our hunger for you, Father. There might be someone here today, Lord, that wants to draw closer to you, Father. And I pray that your Spirit draws each one of us to pray for one another because we're a family. We're a church family. Father, I pray as we have this altar time and worship time, Lord, and I pray as we get into, as Keith shares with us, what's going on here in our budget and our offering and our future here, Father. So I just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.